So the committee usually goes through a pretty rigorous process, finding the speakers. The program chair does a lot. With this, she had brought this individual to the group, and I was able to definitively give a yay. So like when we're around here for a little bit, it's kind of the pebble and the pebble in the pond, right? And the ripples, you know? So not even knowing when we carry the message and how we carry the message, where that message is going to go and how it's going to end up, right? And this man has carried the message to individuals that have then turned around and carried the message to me, right? So in that way, we all are tied together, right? Through that, you know, the life energy from one to another, right? So with that, I'd like to thank him, and I'd like to introduce Gerald from the Just for Today group of NA out of the capital area of Narcotics Anonymous.
Knocking stuff around back here already. I'm Gerald Nominati. And, you know, I want to thank God for another day clean. Thank you people for being here. I take no credit. Grateful to be alive today. I'm from the capital area of Narcotics Anonymous in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It's not Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but it's Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. The little capital in the middle. And you know, before I even start what I'm gonna do, you know, we talk about the newcomer being the most important person in any meeting. But you know what I was taught? That the most important person is the person with the key, because without the key to get in the meeting, the newcomer can't be the most important person in the meeting. So guess what? This committee is like the person with the key. They are the ones that put this together. So we gotta give them a round of applause for doing such a good job. And listen, I'm a literature guy. I don't make no excuses for it. I'm dumb as a rock. But being around y'all, I've been able to comprehend a few things and retain some information. Along with having, you know, 34 years. I've been in my home group, my face-to-face home group for 34 years, since I came back. And listen. I don't want to say it was a struggle for me to even get back to Narcotics Anonymous, because I didn't put the effort that needed to be got when I came here, when I first came here. I came here by a few different ways, a nudge from a judge. I came here because of my parents. I came here because of the kids. I came here because of a lady that I was with, you know, being the people pleaser that I am. I did all those things and still ended up not doing what I needed to do in Narcotics Anonymous. Because when coming to Narcotics Anonymous, this ain't a joke. There's a responsibility for being here and for carrying our message, because it is our message. And when we carry this message, because they read it, that any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live, our message is hope and promises freedom. When all is said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, because that's all we have to give. And there are certain words that you can't scoot around. Like the disease of addiction affects every area of your life. That's what it tells us in how it works. It tells us the different things that the disease connects us to that makes us similar. You know, because we look for the similarities, we look for the differences instead of the similarities. And we come in here and we want somebody to kind of magnetize or be ready to do things like we were ready to do things. And I tell you, from like 82 to 91, I wasn't ready. I came in here, I looked around, you know what I mean? I was clean, you know how you clean and you want to tell people how you like me now, you know? Or look at me, I'm clean. Only to go back out and get high because I didn't buy into this program, the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I just came in getting a slice. I didn't want the whole pie. So I would come in looking for girls, come in doing drive-bys, recovering on my phone. You know, like I see today, so many people recovering on their phone. How do you recover on your phone? It must not be, because listen, after even being here for the time I've been here, I am still scared to get high. I'm scared. And I'm still hungry like I was when I first got here and I said I'm going to do it y'all's way. And once I did that, the initial getting a sponsor, the initial going to meetings, the initial to having a home group became important to me because I needed to stay clean and needed to know what comes after staying clean. Because listen, staying clean must come first. And if staying clean must come first, what comes second? What do I do to stay here? Because it's still serious to me, whether I have children, which I do have children, you know. Listen, I gotta tell y'all this. My youngest son was murdered last year, last May, and he was one of us. And since he was 12 years old, because you know, once I got clean, right, and you know, I got clean and I started working in a facility and I stayed in that facility and worked my way up with the, you know, what we do in them facilities for like 14 years. And then, you know, having kids that, you know, you have to go home to and you try to like cater to them, but understand that the seriousness of what we need to sit them down and let them know based off of where we come from. Because if you in here, you know, by accident, then you can leave now. You can leave. We'll be all right. But the seriousness is that I had this son. And from 12 years old to 27, he would go in and out of facilities. And see, what we understand today is the disease of addiction does just what it's supposed to do. It seeks and destroys. It wants to kill us. It wants us to lie. It wants us to cheat. It wants us to manipulate and then lie and cheat and manipulate again anybody and everybody. So now I got this son, and he's still in America, but he stole my wife's rings, a few couple of little pistols I had at the time, and stealing his sister's clothes, you know. And then here's the funny part with him, even if he take your money, he help you look for it. Like he ain't did nothing. And what happened was that transformed over to something bigger. And he start doing time in the adolescent facilities. He started doing time in the prison system, in the penitentiary. And this last time, because him and some of his friends were doing home invasions. And I don't know if you know what home invasions is. That means they rob you while you're home. And what I was told was, because you know I'm an addict too, is he's just like you. I said, I didn't have the heart to run up in somebody's house and rob them by their home. So he wasn't just like me. And the thing about that is, you know, the last time he ended up doing that, he did a stretch of 7 years, came home 2 months and 2 weeks, got murdered for stealing somebody's stuff. Because if you understand anything about this disease, it wants to kill us. It don't want us to be friends. It don't want us to be able to be sponsored. It don't want us to even look at doing a step or doing any of the things that living the program asks you to do. So when he got murdered, right? You know, I can't, following the story that I had, we ain't even got enough time to even talk about that. But following the story I had my heart hardened. I'm just starting to come out of the fog with 34 years step work and people in my life that I can count on to say to me, how you doing? And then look at me and say, after I say, I'm doing all right, and they'll say, no, you ain't. You ain't all right. Because if you stay around here long enough for people to know you, that's what they'll do. They'll challenge you. They'll ask you. We're supposed to be each other's eyes and ears. That's what it says. But then as soon as I'm your eyes and ears and I ask you about something, you get mad, you know, you get mad at me for asking you about you. And the seriousness of it is if you don't talk, because see, that's one of the things that Narcotics Anonymous has given us the ability to do, is talk. When we were using those skills we had, would have us go anywhere in the United States and cop. Whatever it was. And listen, here's the thing. In Narcotics Anonymous, after the euphoria of the drug wears off, then there's the thing of what's next. If I don't have a sponsor, I don't want a sponsor, I don't want to talk to nobody. You know me, myself, I said when I got out of high school, I wasn't reading or writing nothing. But I heard a guy say that this stuff can help save your life. And I've been reading and writing since. And I don't even like reading. But people will tell you I got 4 or 5 sets of books. Because I sure spent my money out there getting high and didn't have a problem spending that. But then when it comes to buying a book, we can't buy a book. It costs too much. It's too many pages. I'm not reading that.
Pretty much that's what it is.
January 22nd, the School of Recovery. I love this way. I like it. It says, the School of Recovery. This is a program for learning. It says, learning and recovery is hard work. The things we most need to know are often the hardest to learn. We study recovery to prepare ourselves for the experiences life will give us. As we listen to others and share meetings, we take mental notes that we can refer to later. To be prepared, we study our notes and literature between lessons. Just as students have the opportunity to apply the knowledge during tests, so do we have the opportunity to apply our recovery during times of crisis. As always, we have a choice in how we will approach life's challenges. We can dread and avoid them as threats to our serenity, or we can gratefully accept them as opportunities to grow. By confirming the principles we've learned in recovery, life's challenges gives us increased strength. Without such challenges, however, we can forget what we learned and begin to stagnate. These are the opportunities that prone us to new spiritual awakenings. We will find that there is often a period of rest after each crisis, giving us time to get accustomed to our new skills. Once we reflected on our experience, we are called on to share our knowledge with someone who is studying what we've just learned. In the School of Recovery, All of us are teachers as well as students. Now listen, the first edition talks about unity, right? 12th tradition talks about equal, being equal. And so many people need to know when you come in here, it don't matter if you relapse, don't matter if you just got here. It don't matter. When you come into Narcotics Anonymous, we are all equal. There is no big eyes or little U's around here. There is nobody that got the monopoly on what the steps prevent, what the traditions are, and what the concepts present. Because see, I work with the 12, 12, and 12. I don't just work with steps and traditions. The concept put itself in a position to help the traditions work out because of the ideals that addicts get when they start doing things. The manipulation they put on when they're doing events or doing things in their group that they can say that they can do what they want and forget about NA as a whole. You know, I've heard some meetings that don't let nobody share if you ain't got a year clean. And then one day of the month, they get 5 minutes. Newcomer Monday, they get to share for 5 minutes. And they've cut people off that come on the line and share. They stop them, ask them how much clean time they got. And if they ain't got a year, they cut them off. So what you think that would do to somebody new like me? Because I probably would react on them anyway. After I react on them, then I leave. You know, I know we all cut from the same cloth. We might, you know, we might not be from the street, but the street is in us. That's what we got to remember. We got to understand that we trying to work on our character and not become a character like we used to. You know, I'm leaving the bar, I'm drunk, you know, I'm to bed because you won't give me another drink, and then I turn into somebody else. Instead of them helping me out the bar, what they do is call the cops on me. I don't know if you've ever been in that state of mind, but it puts me in a position of now the character that I'm supposed to have in me turns into a character that people don't want to be around. And now, here's the flip side of this. Everybody that we may know in recovery that stands for something and not fall for anything is the flip side of how they used to be. It's the flip side. See, like I used to be a minister of society with no kind of filter on how to respond to anything. It was all reaction. If I didn't like it, you hurt my feelings, which I didn't say back then. I got angry, which you can't get angry without being hurt. You can be hurt without being angry, but you can't be angry without being hurt. And if you want to have a conversation, we can have it. Because that's the thing about being around here and trying to put people in a position to succeed. That's what Narcotics Anonymous is about. Says one step at a time, right? So maybe I think that only applies to steps. Maybe that don't apply to nothing else. But see, in here, we don't know where people are. And sometimes we got to give people the benefit of the doubt and understand who we are in here. We like to judge people for stuff that they do, not understanding that's who we are. Right now, it don't mean you gotta stay there, because I don't have to stay there. Every other word out of my mouth used to be a cuss word. To a guy said it was a feeble mind trying to forcibly express itself. And I was like, wow. I said, I'm gonna work on my cussing. But it's stuff you hear when you're around here that helps understand when people ain't where you at. And that becomes their step. That becomes their one step at a time. Just getting in here. Just making a meeting. Just now getting a sponsor. Just now getting a book. Just now maybe doing some service work. Or scared to even ask, can I help? And we look back like, oh, they should have already been doing that. They've been here for 90 days. They, you know, we told them to make 90 meetings in 90 days, but we don't know what had to go through. Listen, I had my last two kids, the lady that had the kids left me with a 3.5 month old and a one year old kid. She left, never to return. So what did I do? I got out the job that I was at. I was a counselor in a facility. I got out the job. I got a cook job, and I took care of them kids. I took them kids to the daycare center. I went to my cook job. After my cook job, I picked them up and came home. And hell, that was when the dances was going on, and I liked to dance. Oh, I shake a little bit. Crazy, you know, crazy. But I couldn't go nowhere because I ain't had nobody to watch my kids. So until you understand that, you won't know what women go through. I'm talking about 3.5, Kristen was 3.5 months and Cree was 12 months old. And here I am with both of them. Not understand. Now let me back that up. Understanding that I also had two other kids that I had to have their mother take them back to. My oldest boy now is 46. My youngest girl, well, the only girl I got is 30. And my son would have been 27. So you never know what Narcotics Anonymous can stand for you. But let me go here. In the 12th step, when we wound it up here, it said we came to Narcotics Anonymous as a result of the records of our past. The last thing we expected was an awakening of our spirit. We just wanted to stop hurting. You remember that? Especially if you got clean time. And there's a difference between clean time and change time. There's a difference. Because when I change in areas that my sponsor helped me put together to understand about the defects and the shortcomings and the things that the stuff provides you to do, or the work that I want to do for my recovery so that I can help somebody else, because the 12th tradition talks about, 12th step talks about principles before personalities and giving back what's freely given to me. So the stuff that was given to me, because I come from a step tradition and concept home group. So all I heard was steps, traditions, and concepts. Steps, traditions, and concepts. And I listened. It talks about it here, the gift of listening. Because a lot of that I had gift of gab. I wasn't listening to you. I'm forming what to say to you as you said something to me. Right now, that's a problem. But being here, man, and having some people that you really trust and that believes in you and wants to help you in your recovery, that's when the work begins. That's when we stop playing with ourselves. That's when we stop compromising or taking shorts on stuff that we wouldn't normally take shorts if it wasn't a home girl or home boy. It's the seriousness is why I'm here. That's what we read every day. So it says the steps lead us to an awakening of a spiritual nature. This awakening is evident by changes in our lives. These changes make us better able to live by spiritual principles and to carry our message of recovery and hope to the addict who still suffers. Get this. The message, however, is meaningless unless you live it. As we live it, our lives and actions give it more meaning than our words and literature ever could. So me standing up here, sharing all this with you, you ask the people that I'm around, You ask the people that I connect to, because that's what my sponsor said. He said, you really want somebody to know how you are? Ask people how they view you. And back then when he told me how to do that, was not a nice thing. But I was scared. In my recovery, I was scared. I was real rigid. I was, you know, don't take it personal, just take it. I was saying stuff to protect myself, not knowing or caring about the harm that I was causing, because I was scared, y'all. I was living right there in the town that I'm from. I didn't have nothing when I first came back. I had no car. I ain't had no house. I ain't had none of that stuff. But I had meetings that I could go to. People that fed me. People that listened to me. People that listened to me whine, cry, and bicker about the things that was going on in my life. And said, listen, you want to change it? See, one day at a time. I said, what? One day at a time. Just keep making meetings and don't use. And don't use. And don't use. Now I got so sick of them saying don't use. But they were right. But then once getting with a sponsor, because my first sponsor, after going through 7 steps with him, because to understand the steps puts a different step on things. Like I said, when we come in here, we don't come in here. Listen, sometimes we don't even ask people, can they read? We just assume they can read. We just assume they comprehend. And sometimes people don't. And it's really a thing where it's embarrassing to tell you that. But I ain't embarrassed to tell you nothing. But it took time. I remember doing the first step with my sponsor, right? And I was scared because I thought, see, here's the thing about thinking around here. Gets you in trouble all the time. And see, the thinking part of this has to do with whether it goes to your heart or your belly. Because once it's getting past your heart to your belly, disease up. Those feelings that we have, if we don't learn how to deal with it appropriately and with our heart, instead of dealing with them in a posture where our stomachs all build up and we got the disease doing what it does, then you already know. So what I'm doing is first step, right? And I'm thinking that I gotta hand it in like it's homework. And that wasn't it. And I couldn't spell real good. You know what I mean? So I was embarrassed even to like give it to him. He looked at me like, what are you giving me that for? I said, ain't I supposed to give it to you? He said, that's your first step. It ain't mine. I said, well, I probably didn't spell some words right. He said, but you know what you spell, right? So it made me have some good feelings about myself. It made me have, it was able to allow me to have some integrity to consist of the application of spiritual principles no matter what the circumstances. It helped me to, you know, lift my spirit and to be able to do some things, you know, because first coming around, it's hard to get totally honest. You know, I gotta try to make it look good, like I'm this gangster, or I'd have been on the corner, you know, with guns and knives and, you know, looking for people. Ain't did none of that. But my sharing in the beginning was, because I wanted you to like me, because I wanted to expose myself, and the longer I stay here, the more I got honest with myself so I could get honest with y'all. Because that's where the ability to do these steps comes in, with understanding that I'm powerless and that I need to accept how my life is and to surrender to that and see how manageable or unmanageable it is. Leading me to coming to believe. Leading me to have faith. And the thing about me having faith is it's easy to say I got faith, but am I stepping out on it? Am I believing in this faith that I say I have? It's easy to come in here with that Milli Vanilli mess. Oh, y'all know about Milli Vanilli? Saying it ain't even saying nothing. It's easy to do that. But how about the work it takes to stay here? The work it takes to understand and have the appropriate stuff that goes down. Listen, we got all these books, right? And see, I love when they come out with more books, because that just gives me more education on what we do. Because these books are ours, by addicts, for addicts. Guiding principles. Listen, I bumped into this one day. It was talking about, was it page 200? Respect. Now I know my version of respect, but this version gave me a whole different outlook. It says, respect is a particular challenging principle for many of us. Practicing this principle does not necessarily mean that others respect us. It means we offer others the respect we wish for ourselves, and that we respect ourselves enough to walk in dignity and quiet strength. We don't fight for respect, we demonstrate it. We earn the respect of others by being respectful and reciprocal ourselves, by standing on the merits of our program, and by resisting the impulse to brag or boast, to defend or argue. We can explain how and what we are with clarity, simplicity, and serenity. We no longer need to sacrifice our self-respect for approval. Our actions and demeanors show our respect for ourselves and our program. Anonymity is the key principle in our practice of respect. We each set aside our desires or recognition or approval for the desire to hide or stand together in dignity. I mean, that gave me a whole new outlook on respect. Because you know, from where we come from, if you don't respect me, I ain't respecting you. You want respect, you gotta give it. But that's not how it is. Because in this program, it's about working on me. You know, I'm going through a time in my life where the last 25 or 30 years I've been raising kids and taking care of my wife. Now my wife is a 12-step member. Steps, traditions, and concepts. Had some operations, started messing with that oxycodone, and now she's in a nursing home for the last 2 years. Had 25 strokes. The last stroke took her eyesight, her ability to talk, and her ability to walk. It gave me a new outlook on how we don't really pay attention or don't appreciate the gifts that we have, being able to see, being able to talk. She's got dementia. She's got aneurysm in her brain. And if you seen her, you'd be like, not her. Because she's still ornery as hell, excuse my French. She thinks she runs the nursing home, but she can't remember. After I come in and give her a shower and give her all her snacks and all that, the next day, she'll remember that I was there, even then. So I'm equating how the disease of addiction wreaks havoc in your family. And that if I don't stand for something, then I'll fall for anything. And there's times that people do things that are inappropriate, but y'all taught me to stand tall 90 degrees perpendicular to God. to believe that a loving God that in the second step talks about loving, caring, and greater than myself. See, what I understand is this ain't rocket science stuff. Even a guy dumb as a rock like me can understand it. And it can help me, put me in a position to want to be a part of something like this. Not being scared of what might come out my mouth, but having the responsibility and the accountability and the privilege and honor of being here. That's all. Listen, I ain't even the guy that really looks for somebody to call me up to share. They call me up to share, I say, okay. Somebody call me up, I say, okay. Because it ain't even about that for me. Sure, it's nice. I mean, I had a good time. I had a great time today. You know, we was in the cabin. I was with a bunch of newcomers. You know, I usually just bring a case of fish and let anybody get some, anybody that bumps into it or whatever, you know, and I had a good time with them. Being with my sponsor, my sponsee, and some of my other family members, that's what it's about. Driving 2.5 hours, 3 hours to get here, ain't nothing. I gotta think about how I would ride to New York, the cop, and come back home. See, I remember all those things that I did to get one more, but now getting one more in here changes the landscape. It start being, I don't feel like going to no meeting tonight. Now, I ain't talking to my sponsor in a week. I'm going to call him. Yeah, I know. I've been on that step for at least 2 years. Relating, huh? But it's the work you do that gives you what you get when it comes to life on life terms out here. See, it's easy for us to talk with each other and share like Gucci and go out there and be like Kmart. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, it's easy. It's easy. But do the work. Let somebody run up on you and you just say, excuse me, please don't put your hand on me or I'm gonna have to protect myself. That's what I'll tell you. Cause that don't mean that I'm gonna remain powerless if you put your hand on me. And see, the thing about that is we got to understand that all the stuff that's going on inside of us, what we've experienced, what we be experiencing, the stuff that's going on, is things that when things that happen, all that comes up. You don't just get mad and want to fight nobody about parking in my parking spot. I want to do things from all these hurt feelings that's inside of me, from missing my son, that's never came here tonight. Because listen, when they were babies, they were here. I could go to the women in the fellowship and throw my infants on them and sit in a meeting. They let me do that. And it helped me. They helped me. So I got the experience of what we're talking about when we're talking about being helped even in a crisis. So, being here in Narcotics Anonymous is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Listen, in my last using days, my mom and dad called the cops on me. You know, they own bars and I start just stealing stuff out the bars. Same thing my son was doing. Stealing the money, stealing the liquor. My brothers was in there, they was running the bar. What they gonna do to me? I'm the oldest and the craziest. So what they gonna do? You wanna fight? Because now it gets to the point that it ain't even the dog in the fight, it's the fight in the dog. Because we get to a point where we don't care no more. We don't wanna do that work. We don't wanna feel them feelings. We don't wanna cry and keep crying about what's going on in our life to get better. Nope, we want the easier and softer way. And I'll tell you, it's easier, softer ways to put us right back in the county jail or the penitentiary. And understand, I know them days too. You see, I come from that part where the spiritual part of me was dead, walking up and down the street, copping, or looking for ways and means to get bored. And then standing on the corner, like I'm, when the sun come up, standing on the corner, like I'm going to work at the bus stop. And no doggone well, I wasn't going to no work. See, we know how to do that. We find ways and means to do things that nobody else can do. We're some of the smartest people in the world. If you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the efforts to get it, then you're ready. Whether you're ready to take a step or not, or to read or not, or to get honest that you can't read too good, or you can't comprehend, or you can't retain information like me. I've been clean 34 years. I just keep reading and reading and reading and reading. That's how I remember things. Ooh. Oh. And listen, on top of that, last July, with all that was going on in me, you know, I drove trucks for the last 23 years. I had an accident, ran into a low bridge, 35 miles an hour, concussion, neck and back injury. So the cop comes up, right? Oh, I already know I'm getting a citation, right? Then the job gonna want a piss test, like they don't piss test me regularly anyway, more than anybody else. And I'm smiling all the way over there because I'm getting paid for every minute that I'm over there. But the cop came to me and he said, Mr. Watt, it's only an accident. I said, you know what? Yes, it is. He ain't give me no citation or nothing. So when I got back, they sent me to the hospital and all those preliminaries. But then you know how jobs want to jump up and down on you when you get hurt. You know, they're not really concerned with your mental or your physical. They're concerned about their company and how they need to get you back to work. But listen, I'm 66 years old. I've been working since I was 8. I'm done. I retired in January. And I'll tell you this, I'm getting workman's comp from them. Because I ain't scared to get honest. Because with all that's going on, you still got to pay bills. I got to take care of my wife. And I love my wife. I buy her what she needs. I get her snacks. I let her run up and down. Beat me all up if she want to every day. And then I say, honey, my feelings hurt. She say, oh, I hurt your feelings. I'm sorry. Just the sweetest little lady. And see, she got members of Narcotics Anonymous that she sponsored, that sponsored her, left her high and dry when she was using things that we ain't supposed to do. Because number one, if somebody's using it, that's who we supposed to help. We stop thinking and remembering that that's what we are as addicts, and using is a normal state for an addict. We're in an abnormal state right now, tells us in the book. But there's something I gotta let y'all know, right? For anybody that's new, or you ain't gotta be new. You ain't gotta be none of that. Because listen, I come from a family that carries books and reads literature and has debates, whatever you want to call it. We go in and we don't always agree. See, one of the things I learned here in Narcotics Anonymous too is that we agree to disagree. I've never heard anything like that. I said that to my doctor and he was like, what does that mean? Said, I think you could go back to work and do light duty. I said, I'm a truck driver. He said, well, you can do light duty. He said, said, but I think you're cured. That's what he said. He used the word cured. And I said, wow. You know what we think about cured, right? But anyway, I think it's on page 88. It says, we get relief through the 12 steps, which are essential to our recovery process. Because they are new a spiritual way of life that allows us to participate in our own recovery. Check this out. From the first day, look, they hear my people laughing. From the first day, the 12 steps become part of our lives. And you will say, well, how does that? Well, when you come in here, ain't you surrendering? Because I'm sure you just ain't showing up just because you want to come in here with us. You're telling us you're addict when you come in here, whether you're saying it or not. That's the first step. You're telling us you're powerless and that you need help. The other stuff that goes down the pike is stuff that we got to come to believe ourselves. See, because we talk about making a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God, not God, the care of God, or doing an inventory of ourselves, or sharing that with somebody, or understanding defects and shortcomings, like having a car with four flats and trying to drive it. That's the shortcoming, is trying to drive it. The defect is you got four flat tires. So understanding that the defect is I'm a liar, but today I didn't lie, so I worked on it. And those are the changes in the areas that I need to look at. Did I mismanage the money and go to the mall and buy some Jordans and a sweatsuit? Or did I pay the bill that I needed to pay for my lights? Those are ways that we can express and do our own recovery and break it down in areas that we need to break it down in. If not, we can get caught up just like we in drugs. Running to the casino, running and getting numbers. Hell, I was playing numbers one time. I was so bad, I was about to run my truck up in somebody's store trying to get there before 7 o'clock. And I was like, wow, man, I'm really messing up, man. But it's the recognition of it. It's the awareness. It's the having people in your life that's going to say, you're still drinking that water, but you want to rationalize why you're still going over her house. Because she's disrespecting you and calling you out your name. But I love her. I really, really love her. But I don't love myself when I do that kind of stuff. It's a process, but it's not a process where I gotta keep banging my head on the wall and saying that I ain't banging it. We gotta come in here and do the work, man, and get better. Because the simple fact is, it's gonna be people coming after you that's gonna need your help. That giving it back. It may be a family member, it may be a co-worker that's seeing how you change your life and they want to know how you did it. We don't have to go on to no long, I go to Narcotics Anonymous and I got a sponsor and we work the 12 steps, the 12 traditions and the 12 concepts, so you understand that, you know, we're all equal over there. We ain't got to do all that. We got to just say we around some people that believe in us and want to help us. And after that, the sky's the limit. So I'll tell you, I'm real grateful, man. I'm grateful to be standing in front of y'all. Because I love this way of life. I believe in the third tradition that talks about the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. That's all you gotta have. Even a using addict is welcome in our meetings. But we wanna act crazy when somebody come in that's using. Well, that's the ones we want to come in. So that's what the literature is about, man. That's what that literature's about. When we start talking about a loving higher power and what it can do for us, or the sixth concept says group conscience is a spiritual means by which we invite a loving God to influence our decisions, why wouldn't I want that same thing for myself so it can influence my decisions, that loving God? All I gotta do is do some work, a little at a time, a day at a time, that's all. It didn't just happen for me where now I've, you know, got the freedom that I got even in the midst of the storms, or being able to put myself in a position where I'm not doing a lot of reacting, I'm doing a lot of responding. It takes time and practice. And anything that you know how to do good, you had to practice to get here. We were not born with these skills. So I appreciate y'all, man. I appreciate y'all letting me come up and, you know, share what I do. You know, because like I said, I've been in my home group for 34 years, the whole 34 years, same home group. Sunday, just for the day, come out, we coming out the spiritual principle day now, another new book. So these new books keep coming out and they keep going passing right by y'all, huh? They keep passing right by y'all. And the thing of it is the information in there will help you if you allow it to. Because can't nobody piss you off and make you mad unless you allow them to. And you got to want this way of life. Can't just talk about it. I told you in the 12 steps, meaningless unless we live it. As we live it, it takes on more meanings than our words and literature ever could. So somebody can get up and quote some stuff or whatever, but if they ain't living it, what's that going to mean? I'm gonna be an addict telling you, that stuff don't work. It don't work. Because a friend of mine told me and said, it works if you work it, it works if you don't work it, it just won't be working for you. And when I heard that helped me. Because I wanted to work for me. I want to stop being immature. I want to stop being whining, crying, and bickering about anything. I want to believe in the faith and the understanding of the God that I say I understand. I want to put that into action. I don't just want, I go back to the Milli Vanilli again. That's what a lot of us is doing. And it's not good. That's why we end up seeing people do what they do, because they didn't work the program. And the program's not hard. But it says, one step at a time. So whatever your one step is, that's what you gotta find out. If that one step of yours gets you to the point where now you're doing steps, great. If you're still in the beginning, you ain't doing nothing, you ain't reading, do something. Don't come in here, you know, looking for a chick or a dude. You know, two sickies don't make a wellie. But we steady trying that anyway. Are we trying to manipulate the system or things that we know that we've done before? It's hard to be straddling the fence around here and people see you. Because we care about each other. And sometimes it's not going to be nice the way I may deliver something. But it's because I love you and I care about you. So, I think I said enough. Grateful, grateful, grateful. And I'm gonna keep coming back, and I hope you do too. Thanks.